Owning an investment property can be challenging, but it doesn't have to be. At Heritage Realty Property Management, they handle the challenges for you, ensure it's rented, maintained, and gets the highest return possible, while you just collect the check. With over 50 years' experience, you can trust Heritage Realty to provide the property care you want and rental knowledge you need. Visit heritagerealtyknox.com to connect with the team more landlords trust. Heritage Realty. We treat your property as if it were our own.
Eric Kane, sing along. Are you ready for it? It's time. Those are actually Eric Kane's vocals. A lot of people don't know that. Eric Kane Claus, a member of Arcade Fire. This is the starting lineup. 99.1 The Sports Animal. Will West and Kane are here with you. 656-9900. If you want to get on board the Stanley Fencing and Gates hotline, Tennessee made a schedule change yesterday, dropped a non-conference opponent, added a power non-conference opponent. Here's what I want to know from you, though, on the Stanley Fencing and Gates hotline. Who's left? Who do you want to see Tennessee add as a non-conference opponent? We break it down next. Right now, though, here's what you'll miss in the world of sports last night. It's your morning buzz. All right, so Tennessee has dropped BYU as their opening non-conference opponent in 2023. They will play Virginia now in Nashville at Nissan Stadium. They were scheduled to begin the season in Provo, Utah. They're going to play a Nissan Stadium instead. So you get a power conference opponent there instead of a non-power conference team, although BYU will be in the Big 12 for 2023. I think it sort of solves two problems. BYU, with the Big 12 schedule they're having to add, that may have been a little tough for them.
Already have Arkansas on the schedule, too.
Yep. So that's a little tough. Two, Tennessee, I think, wanted to do something here instead of travel, and they get to make a little bit more money by doing this in Nashville. Mm-hmm. How Tennessee's going to pay the buyout is giving a portion of the ticket sales to BYU from this game in Nashville. But Tennessee, Nashville, Virginia, is that doing anything for you, Eric Kane?
As far as the actual game itself, no, it's not. It's not. I mean, it's not a I would have much rather, I mean, selfishly, I was going to cover that game. I was looking forward to it. So I'm a little bummed out it's not happening. At the end of the day, it's not the end of the world. You're playing a Power 5 opponent, but the game's kind of, I understand a lot of fans don't want to play in Nissan Stadium because of recent struggles there. But it's a net revenue positive for Danny Watt. They're going to make money instead of having to pay $500,000 for somebody to come here and play.
Yeah, so making money's good. That's a good thing.
Always good.
Yeah, it's better than the alternative. We'll just say that if anybody's got any money in equities as of late, and you've seen what's happened to the markets. But look, I'm not losing my mind over this. It's not like it's the end of the world. I'm not going to celebrate this as if it's a big W. It just kind of is what it is. Is Virginia a better opponent than BYU?
I guess, yes.
It's a wash as far as I'm concerned.
I think it's way more of a wash in my opinion as well. So we'll go with that. Major League Baseball last night. Atlanta Braves, good start for me and Anderson, through a gym, but one wild pitch, one mistake. Atlanta's offense couldn't back him up. The Brewers top the Atlanta Braves 1-0. Atlanta now 4 games under .500. The Cubs hammered the Pirates 9-0. The Yankees won against the Orioles last night 6-2. Well, Wes, they've won 21 of their past 25 games. Yankees are good.
The Yankees are 5.5 games up in the East, and they're 35 games into the season.
Yeah, it helps when the Red Sox suck.
Yeah, that does suck a lot. They're absolutely incredible. I noticed you buried the lead and didn't point out that the Dodgers beat the Diamondbacks 5-4 last night. I'm sure that's on the tip of everybody's tongue right now.
Indeed.
Yankees are fantastic. Why does it seem like the best teams in baseball are all in the AL right now?
It's something. I mean, I think the Yankees are obviously good. I think
the Astros have been on fire.
Astros are very, very
good. Which means they're cheating. So there's that.
I think the Mets might be the best team. I understand what the Yankees are doing everything right now, but gosh, if the Mets can hang on, this could be a year where they do something. But they haven't done it in recent memory, so I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah, that is a very good point. Jack Nicklaus is the Saudi Arabian organizers of the LIV or LIV, I don't even know how you pronounce it, Golf Invitational Series. It's the new tournament that's in London that the PGA has banned their people from being a part of, and that a lot of people are vilifying Phil Mickelson for saying he wants to play in. Jack says they offered him in excess of $100 million to do a job similar to the one Greg Norman's doing, where virtually, you're just there to add legitimacy to the tournament, right? Yeah. You're a little bit of an ambassador. You do a bunch of interviews for him, be like, no, this is fun. This is good. And also, you might play here or there. Is there anybody on earth you wouldn't take $100 million from?
Probably not. Let's be honest with you. I know myself, and probably not.
If you were Jack, would you have done this? Now, Jack's point of view was, hey, I helped start the PGA Tour.
I get it.
I'm not walking away from it now. He also does not need money at all.
I was going to say, it's different, too. I mean, yeah, he does not need money whatsoever. when you're already a millionaire, what's being a 100 millionaire? Yeah. Then you want to be a 200 millionaire. Like, I understand it from that aspect.
I'm still using school coupon book stuff. You know what I mean? So Jack is not using the school coupon book.
So I get it from his perspective. And you want to say that morally you have some standards and everything. But, I mean, $100 million is $100 million.
Yep.
To the NBA we go. Monday, the league said it's in the process of gathering more information about Rajon Rondo allegedly threatening a woman with a gun at her house last week. This took place in Louisville, Kentucky. ESPN broke the story, and the woman has filed for an emergency protective order against Rondo. That happened on Friday. It was granted later that day. Allegedly, he was playing video games with her son. She said, you know, stop, come in here and get some food.
She told him to separate laundry. She's what she told the kid, according to her statement anyway. And Rondo got mad.
But yeah, pitched a fit, threw the console out of the wall, essentially, and it was kind of bad. So hopefully everyone's okay. That's good. But anytime you're linked to, you know, allegedly threatening a female with a firearm, threatening anybody.
Yeah, yes, with a firearm.
With a firearm. It's about
especially threatening a female and threatening anyone with a firearm. Put the two of those together.
Yes.
Here's the problem, right, with Rondo. Everyone's innocent until proven guilty, except it's kind of the Trevor Bauer thing that we've seen a little bit. Because I know you're crazy, you know what I mean? Like, it's hard. I hope justice prevails, but it's hard to not believe this a little bit. If you remember, there was the report years ago that in the middle of a video session back in the day, Rondo got mad and threw a glass Snapple bottle through the video screen that they were watching when Doc Rivers was a co-chair and Doc wanted him out. So we know there's some anger issues there. Does that mean this happened? It doesn't, but you take any accusation like this seriously, and you just hope justice prevails. Now, I was sent this by our buddy Chris from Tony and Chris and WIVK. Warren Sapp this week shared the five things that get athletes in trouble that Tony Dungy used to tell him when he was a member of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And Tony Dungy retweeted it a couple days ago. Here's what it is, right? He said, I started 26 years ago is when I started telling athletes this. Still holds true today. Number one, out past 12 midnight.
Okay.
Number two, driving 15 or miles an hour over the speed limit.
Okay.
Number three, guns or drugs.
There you go.
Stance involved there. Number four, alcohol. Number five, women you know too well or not well enough.
So probably two of the five at least.
Looks like Rondo at least allegedly has hit two of the five. That is your Morning Buzz. It's brought to you by Heritage Realty. HeritageRealtyKnox.com. Bringing together buyers and sellers in East Tennessee, and they're amazing when it comes to property management. That is Heritage Realty. All right, so Tennessee's going to take on Virginia to open the 2023 season, dropping BYU, playing Virginia. Here's what I want to know from you at 656-9900 on the Stanley Fencing and Gates hotline. Who's left? Who do you want to see Tennessee schedule a non-conference game with that they haven't played or they haven't played in a while? We talk about it next. It's the starting lineup on 99.1. Here's Eric Kane with your sports update.
Tennessee has announced a scheduling change that'll kick off the 2023 season. Instead of playing on the road at BYU, the Vols will now take on Virginia in Nashville at Nissan Stadium. The game will take place on September the 2nd, with the first meeting between the two programs since the 91 Sugar Bowl. Former Tennessee football player Kenneth George Jr. has signed an undrafted free agent contract with the Tennessee Titans following a weekend rookie mini camp tryouts. The Tennessee baseball's Blake Burke has been named the SEC co-freshman of the week after going 5-for-8 with two home runs against Georgia last week. And Tennessee has officially signed five-star Hoops prospect Julian Phillips after he committed to the program on Thursday. It is 7:12. Tennessee scheduling changes. Who would you like to see Tennessee play? More on that when TSO returns. Good morning. I'm Eric Kane.
Starting lineup 99.1, the sports animal, Will West, Eric Kane. Well, Pixie's bringing you back. Okay, so Tennessee's going to make the switch. 2023 BYU trip to Provo gone. Virginia at Nissan Stadium. That is what's joining us here. So here's what I want to know from you is we've seen in recent years, I've been here 15 years, right? I guess we're on year 16 right now. But over the years, we've had different people that would call and say, hey, I want to see Tennessee play this team. I want to see Tennessee play this team. You had Virginia Tech at Bristol was always one of those games that everybody wanted to see. That was a bucket list game. We got Virginia Tech at Bristol. Texas is another one that everybody's always wanted to see. Texas is joining the SEC, so at some point in time, we're going to get Tennessee versus Texas. So here's my question. Not that Virginia's in this conversation, but who's left? Who's left for Tennessee that you want to see play in a non-conference game with? Because especially we're up against an era where, if you look at it, other teams are scheduling three out-of-conference, power conference opponents now, starting about the 2027 season and moving on from there. So who do you want to see Tennessee schedule at a conference as the years go on?
Yeah, for me, I think the conversation would start with a Notre Dame. I know Tennessee played them in the early 2000s.
I was going to say, it wasn't that long ago. Eric Ainge still talks about what Justin Tuck did to him.
But, I mean, think of how long it's been since Eric Ainge has played football,
it's
right?
It's been a minute.
So, but it's happened in the last two decades. So, I mean, to your point, Notre Dame would be a good
but
one.
But 20 years is a long time ago,
it
right?
It is. Yeah. Ohio State would be a fun one, a real fun one. I think Southern Cal would be a really, really good one.
There, if you look at it, though, there aren't – the one thing Tennessee has never done or has not done in a long time is delve into playing a Big Ten opponent. I think part of that was because back in the day, if you played the Citrus, the Outback, there were a lot of Big Ten versus or SEC versus Big Ten non-conference games already. So you would get those games in the there. The one that jumps out to me that Tennessee's never played, and I've never heard anybody really talk about it a whole lot, or even like the discussion of getting it done. And they played everybody else from the ACC that I have no desire to see whatsoever. But the two that jumped out to me as I'm sitting there this morning, Clemson. Never see Clemson feels like an SEC school.
Because before 2017, it was like, who cares?
Yeah, well, I mean, and I think they played him in a Peach Bowl a while back. But Clemson, we've not heard of for a really long time. And then the other one's Florida State. Rematch of the national title game. Look, my memory is not awesome by any stretch of the imagination, but has Tennessee played Florida State since the national title game?
To my knowledge, no.
So those are the two that I kind of looked at when I started, like, if you start building, okay, how do you get a regional rivalry going? And so I start looking at the South. You'll play Virginia Tech. You'll played a Georgia Tech. You've played NC State. You've played North Carolina. So if I'm looking around the South, you played Miami in the last 20 years. The only two that I'm looking at right now, I guess barely 20 years, but it's been 20 years.
Yeah.
The only two, Florida State, Clemson. Those are the two that we haven't seen right now as far as regional rivals that you might have picking other teams from the South.
Yeah, Clemson would be fun. It would definitely be fun with Dabo there for sure. And, you know, what he's done, I wouldn't expect Clemson just to go away whenever the time comes that he's no longer Clemson's head coach, which I think he'll be there forever. Florida State would be really, really neat because Florida State's a football power, right? It's just been down for, you know, quite a while now since Jimbo left. So I would like to see that. I just look at, I mean, UT versus UT would be a whole lot of fun, but you're right. You know, you're going to get that sooner or later because you're coming to the SEC. You've got Oklahoma a few times. They're coming as well. I just, you know, with Notre Dame, you know, what it's meant for college football, it was college football for so long. It was the only team that was on television, you know, where you can watch growing up for so long. That was before my time, but, you know, so I've been told. And I still feel like, I mean, they're still a contender. They're still knocking on the door to the college football playoffs every single year or in the college football playoffs every single year. That would be really, really cool to see. Southern Cal, enough said. And here's the thing, too. I mean, if Tennessee, you know, wants to continue trending upwards and getting in the college football playoff and it's going to expand someday, I mean, the thought could be, well, you could run into Ohio State down the line, but Ohio State from Michigan in the Big 12 or the Big 10, excuse me, would be a whole lot of fun as well.
656-9900 is your phone number. David's held patiently. We appreciate it. David, give us the team that you would like to see Tennessee schedule in a non-conference matchup.
Absolutely. Good morning, Will.
Good morning.
I was telling Eric, I'm a Notre Dame guy, so Notre Dame for me would be absolutely the number one choice, and for several reasons. Notre Dame always has been, always will be, you know, if you walked up to 10 people, you know, that you never met before and asked them just to name one football team besides Tennessee, the odds of them naming Notre Dame would probably be very high. They have a great fan base. They're very welcoming when you go to South Bend. It's just a classic game. Football to me is a classic sport. And they represent everything that's good about football. They're certainly not perfect, but that would be my number one choice. Going to the Horseshoe in Columbus, Ohio, to play Ohio State would be outstanding. Their fan base can be a little pretentious, but still a great facility. I think Michigan would be a great choice simply because of their history, long-term history of college football. Those would be my top three. I'm also on board with Southern Cal. A trip to California, L.A. is always nice. And plus, Southern Cal is just like 2 miles from UCLA. So, you know, you could kind of maybe catch two games if you wanted to, you know, depending on who UCLA was playing that weekend. But I'm a Notre Dame guy, so I'm going to go with Notre Dame.
All right. Thanks a lot, David. I do appreciate it. Yeah. Again, like a lot of what's left, if we're just being honest, which is cool. Cause there was a long time that Tennessee wouldn't do cool things, but what's left is kind of the Midwestern schools. It seems like the Tennessee's not played yet. Brandon's next in the starting lineup. Brandon, give me the out of conference opponent you would like to see Tennessee schedule.
All right, guys. Hey, let's go backwards a little bit. Let's remember Tennessee's history when we look around. You know, we talked about, you know, who haven't we played? Let's go back to when the SEC started, and let's take a big look at Tulane, right?
Tulane.
Let's get some of those old SEC rivalries back in play. You know, some history, some real tradition. No, I jest, but New Orleans isn't that bad. But yeah, I could see Tennessee doing something like that. Maybe get a Tulane in there, get a Louisville, get something fun. I don't know if Louisville will do it, but to your point about 2027 and about when this scheduling is really taking place for a lot of Power Five opponents, do you think Tennessee is going to have options to have this kind of dream list, or will the FBS kind of by that point, will the scheduling be put out to where Tennessee is having to schedule these Power Five opponents? They won't be able to break out and cancel games like with BYU. They'll need them at that point. Is that something that you look for by 27, where maybe this bucket list of ideas for Tennessee, you got to get them in now, because by then, you know, you're going to have Power Fives on the schedule just to compete with the playoffs.
No, I do think, look, if you do, like, interest rates have been going up lately, right? And if you pay attention to the stock markets, the equities markets have already priced in where the interest rates they expect it to be before the interest rate hike gets announced. I think right now what we're seeing in scheduling for college football is that the reason why Alabama's playing both West Virginia and Ohio State in September of 2027, the reason why Georgia's playing, I think it's Florida State, one other non-conference opponent, I don't remember who it is, Texas and Louisville all in the or Florida State. No, it's Texas, Louisville, and Georgia Tech in the same season as they expect 2027. I think they're already pricing in that strength of schedule is going to be one of the biggest qualifiers to get you into the expanded playoff field. I see what you're saying, Brandon, as far as there being a musical chairs thing. We're going to run out of power conference opponents to play at some point in time, and you will be stuck with the Virginias and the BYUs of the world. I don't know that you got to rush to do it, because if everybody's scheduling three, that actually adds a number of opportunities for you.
Yeah, and we all know the college football playoff will expand. I get all that. I still kind of come back to, if you're Notre Dame, you got to do that. If you're Clemson, you got to do that. If you're Alabama, Georgia, you don't have to do that. If you're Tennessee, you don't have to do that. You know why? Win your conference, you're in. Sometimes don't even win your conference. Be the runner-up in your conference, they're going to put you in. That's happened in a 14 playoff. You know that'll happen again in an 8-team or a 16-team playoff.
That's Eric Caden. I'm Will West. 656-9900 is your phone number. You're going to want to hear what an SEC network analyst said about Tennessee baseball, because I think it's the strongest statement that I have ever heard about a Tennessee team ever. We'll tell you about it coming up. Five burning questions as well as next. Starting lineup on the 99.1 The Sports Animal. All right, so we're asking the question. Tennessee drops BYU. They add Virginia for the 2023 season. That game's going to be at Nissan Stadium. We are asking you guys if there's what's left. Who's left? If you could see and you could schedule fantasy booking Tennessee versus what school for a non-conference game in the near future, who would you take? Dave says Oklahoma State. Give me the mullet. Our buddy Jim just popped his head in too just a second ago and said, "Hey, I'd love to see Tennessee play Oklahoma State." I'm like, "Well, Jim, you know they gave Mike Gundy a raise one time, and they gave him control of a schedule another time with him flirting with the job, so a little revenge game wouldn't be that bad."
I saw a stat last night actually saying the combined years of experience for the Big 12 coaches are like 33, 34, whatever, and Gundy's got 17. That's a good one. That's one that's come to mind a few times, yeah. But it would be kind of like a Virginia, more firepower usually, but it'd be kind of like
they're
a Virginia
better,
game.
But it feels that way,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because they're not a traditional power.
Exactly.
Yeah, you know, you're absolutely right. Let's see. Bobby says Florida State. That's the one
that's
to
fair.
Go with.
That's fair.
I don't think they've done a rematch since the title game. You know that Tennessee's actually played Notre Dame since 1999 four times?
I did not know
99,
that.
99, 2001, 2003, 2005. They played Notre Dame.
They played Notre Dame in 03 and 05?
No, maybe it was 2005, 2006. So it was like a home and home. Yeah, it was 99, 2001, 05, 06. Okay. That's when they played them.
Wow. It does not feel like that.
It does not feel like that at all. Johnny says the only non-conference opponent left for Tennessee is USC. I understand his point of view, but that's like the one power Pac-12 team that Tennessee hasn't played. I know they haven't played BYU, but I don't know. It feels like they played. They haven't played Utah. I mean, not BYU, but it doesn't. Utah is a power Pac-12 team, but it doesn't feel. It's like Oklahoma State. It doesn't feel like it's a power Pac-12 team.
Yeah, and to confirm, Tennessee's not played Florida State since the championship.
That's Eric Kane. I'm Will West. It's Fire Burning Questions time on the starting lineup. What do you have, Eric Kane?
Do you think Drew Brees returns to the Saints next year?
A lot of people are hoping this happens. I think if Sean Payton were there, that would make this easier. So I'm going to say no. I don't think that he does. I think Drew Brees steps into the booth next year, calls games live for Fox. He wasn't that bad. So
he was not that bad.
No. So I think that he's going to be on Fox. I think he's going to call games.
But also, he was a studio guy. He was a studio guy. Yeah. And I still thought he was pretty good. Let's be real here. He is an older man who was fantastic, great at what he did. But he started to diminish later on in his career, as we all do. He's a year out. It would be hard to watch, in my opinion, if he came back and played. So
we don't want to see that. Nobody wants to see Jordan with the Wizards. Nobody wants to see any of that stuff.
Exactly. So I'll say no. Today is Matt Ryan's 37th birthday. Is Ryan still one of the top 10 quarterbacks in the NFL?
I think he is, especially with the guys that have, with diminishing skills for some other guys as well. Has it gone well? No. But DeShane texted me this the other night. You know who the last six seasons combined has the most passing yards the last six seasons?
I would imagine Matt Ryan.
It's Matt Ryan. Yeah. So, yeah, he is a top 10 quarterback. Every quarterback sucks with a bad offensive line. 100% of them except Lamar Jackson.
All right. So last year, 20 touchdowns, 12 interceptions, completed 67% of his passes, and he threw for 3,900 yards, so almost 4,000 yards.
Not a great year.
Not a great year at all. That was age 36, but I'm going to say he's not anymore. Now, is he top 15? Probably. He's still a good quarterback. He's still a piece like for the Colts. And again, that's why when they got him, I said, okay, they are Super Bowl, not favorites, but big time contenders.
They can also block. That's something that he hasn't had in a long time. Since they've been to the Super Bowl.
He is good enough still at this age to lead a team to a Super Bowl, good team. So that's why I think the Colts are real. So top 10 quarterback? No, that's what I'll say. On this day in 2019, John Wick 3 was released. Are the John Wick movies on the Mount Rushmore of action film series?
Yes, they are. And I know that's kind of new money, but I will say I'm including the Marvel Universe in this because comic book is action. I'm going to start the Marvel Universe is the number one on the Mount Rushmore. Number two is James Bond. Number three is John Wick. And this is going to upset some people, but number four is Mission Impossible. Those are all good movies. They're not great, but they're all 100% good movies. I did leave Terminator out because of sci-fi.
I was going to say you left the big time sci-fi out there, but okay.
Sci-fi out.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. I'll say yes. Now, full disclosure, I have not watched any of these movies.
Oh, man.
And I've heard they're amazing. I need to watch The Wicks. I need to watch Wire. There's a lot of good stuff out there that I have not watched yet.
Eventually, if you just take a night off of Braves baseball in the middle of May.
I'll have to do it sooner rather than later. But because of what I've heard and everything I've read and every list type article I've read on the subject has John Wick series in there, I will agree with you as well. Jack Nicklaus says he turned down $100 million to join the new Saudi-backed golf league. Is there any government on earth you wouldn't take $100 million from?
What do I have to do for that $100 million? That's the question, right? Like, so that's the big question. I'm going to be honest, I probably would have done what Jack. Like, if I had Jack's money, I wouldn't have taken the money from the Saudi Golf Tour. If they came to meet Will West right now, middle-class guy from Sevier County, yes, I'm taking their $100 million. They'll be over there being like, man, this Saudi Golf Tour, best thing you ever dang seen. That's what I would do if I was if they offered me that money. Now, yes, there are probably governments. Like, I don't know that I'm taking $100 million from Putin. I don't know if I'm going to go hang out in North Korea talking about how great Kim Jong-un is, but otherwise I'm probably taking $100 million.
But again, what do you do with that money? Something you brought up early in the show. If you take it, keep half for yourself, donate, or keep a quarter of it for yourself.
Do something good for the other half, right?
Do something really, really good. So in that respect, yes, sign me up. I will take that.
Kim Jong-un comes and says $100 million, Eric Kane, for you to talk about how great North Korean sports is. Are you taking that $100 million?
I don't know. My dad's listening right now, just shaking his head. So I got to watch what I do something good with the money.
Yeah.
Keep money. Set up for life. Do something good with the money.
My dad's like retired, so I don't think he's up yet. But that's one of the reasons I said this. But if I said that of Russia, I grew up with the Reagan 80s. You know, my dad was a big Reagan guy. If I said Russia, that's the one my dad would get mad at.
FanDuel has Tennessee as a 1.5-point favorite over Kentucky in football this fall. Right now, which way would you lean with that bet?
Pound Tennessee. Pound it. Ooh. Destroy it. Big money, no whammies. That is Tennessee's going to – it's an awful matchup for Mark Stoops because either he has to do what he did last year, which is go completely out of your element, or he's just going to sit there and get boat raced. Those are his two choices. I love Tennessee there.
He's got projected number one overall draft pick. Will Levis back at the helm. I think
to throw 17 times a game.
I think Kentucky is a solid football team. I think they are the team that most resembles in terms of talent level outside of Georgia, that's Tennessee in the East this year. I think it'll be a close game. Having said that, my lean to answer the question would be Tennessee. I would pick Tennessee to win that game at home, but I do think Kentucky is really, really good, and I think that they're going to, you know, win probably, you know, 9 games again this year.
I agree. Kentucky's going to be good. It's just a bad matchup.
Yeah, it's
just a bad matchup for Kentucky with the style of play that they like to run.
And again, we all said that heading into last year's game, and
Kentucky did the opposite of what they normally do
and almost beat Tennessee.
They did. Now, that was year one with Tennessee, and that was a real good Kentucky team.
It's a really bad defense, too.
It was. And so I just think Tennessee's going to be improved this year, and Kentucky, I think, is going to take a step back this year. I really do. You don't lose the wide receiver they had and those offensive linemen.
Robinson,
you lost an NFL starter at center and an NFL starter at tackle. And you're not going to get better whenever you do that. That's Eric Kane. I'm Will West. That is Five Burning Questions. 656-9900 is your phone number. Okay. An SEC Network analyst said something about Tennessee baseball this week that frankly might be the biggest compliment I have ever heard about a Tennessee team. We'll tell you next. Starting lineup on 99.1. Here's Eric Kane with your sports update.
Tennessee announced a scheduling change that'll kick off the 2023 season. Instead of playing at BYU, the Vols will now take on Virginia in Nashville at Nissan Stadium. Former Tennessee football player Kenneth George Jr. has signed an undrafted free agent contract with the Tennessee Titans following a minicamp tryout last weekend. Tennessee has now officially signed 5-star Hoots prospect Julian Phillips after committing to the program on Thursday. And Tennessee baseball's Blake Burke has been named the SEC co-freshman of the week after going 5-for-8 with 2 homers in the series against Georgia. Couple baseball scores. The Brewers defeated the Braves 1-0. The Cubs hammered the Pirates 9-0. And the Yankees topped the Orioles 6-2. It is 7:44. More on Tennessee scheduling when we return. Good morning. And Tennessee baseball and greatest teams in Tennessee history. All that coming up on TSL when we return. Good morning. I'm Eric Kane.
Final segment, hour number 2, the starting lineup, 99.1, the sports animal. Want to thank everybody for hanging out with us this morning. It will never go unappreciated. You could be doing anything else with your time. So when you spend it with us, we really appreciate that here on TSL. Will West, Eric Kane here with you. So we had something else completely planned for this segment. And then I'm scrolling through the social mediums as one does at 4:45 in the morning. And I see this quote from David DeLucci. David DeLucci is a former Ole Miss player, all-SEC baseball player from the 90s, who now works the SEC Network on a show called Rally Cap that they do there. Madison Shipman's on that program. I mean, there's a lot of former players that are on that program, and it's kind of their debate thing. Dari Noka heads it up, and then it's kind of their debate thing that they do about college baseball, college softball. He said this about Tennessee baseball, and I quote, "This is the best team that college baseball has ever seen from top to bottom. The best team that college baseball has ever seen from top to bottom." Everyone out there listening knows that I'm a longtime college baseball fan dating all the way to mid-April of last year. But Eric Kane, you do follow this a little more closely than I do.
Not much longer.
but maybe more closely, but not much longer.
Yeah.
You buying that this Tennessee baseball team's the best college baseball team of all time?
I mean, I honestly can't answer that question because, again, I haven't been following the sport for that long. I know that there's been some great Vanderbilt teams. There's been some great Florida teams. There's been some great Oregon State teams and, you know, some teams that are, you know, year in and year out going or competing to get back to Omaha in the College World Series. So I can't say that. I just know I can say for sure this year Tennessee is easily the best team in the country.
Yeah. So here's the thing. I that's the highest praise I've ever heard from a Tennessee base for a Tennessee program, period.
Yeah, for sure.
Never have I heard the best ever when it comes to Tennessee. Maybe the 90s Pat Summitt teams and things like that. One of my first thought was 85 Mississippi State, right? That was I didn't remember the year, but it was my first immediate thought was Will Clark, Rafael Palmeiro were on the same team. And then you start looking at it. Bobby Thigpen was on that team as well. And then Bob Yarbrough, who was at Mississippi State at the time.
He was in left field in pickup truck watching the games.
it's just cow pasture out there. And Bob just roll up in the Ford Ranger and he'd put the tailgate down and make it happen, right?
And now it is a beautiful spectacle of a stadium.
It is. But he pointed out Jeff Brantley, also longtime major leaguer, was on that team as well. They ended up not winning the College World Series, he pointed out to me, which I guess I didn't realize that. Had a pitcher take a ball off a shin. And that was it. They were derailed from there. But it's, let me ask you this. Is this Tennessee baseball team the best Tennessee team we've ever seen, regardless of sport? And if not, who is?
Well, I mean, again, as you pointed out, there's some Lady Vols teams 100% come to mind. You mentioned 98 earlier this year.
97-98 Tennessee Lady Vol basketball team had, and okay, let me just go through this list. Shamiqua Holtzclaw, Tamika Catchings, Samika Randall, Kelly Jolly, Ace Clement, Naya Butts, Kyra Elzey. Are you kidding me how good that team was in 97-98? They went 39-0 and undefeated the entire season and won the tournament.
06-07, they were 30-2. You got the Candace years, 36-2 the following year. So they went back-to-back in 06-07.
And that was when UConn was rolling too. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, those are some teams that come to mind. Of course, in football, you think of 1998, you think of 01. I understand Tennessee lost in the SEC championship game that year, but boy, they were great. I mean, 97 comes to mind as well, even though you lost. I mean, you didn't win a national championship, but you might have been better in 97 than you were in 98 when you won the whole dang thing. You know, those are some, and of course, basketball, you had the Lofton years where, you know, they ascended to number one and they looked incredible. And then you had the 18-19 basketball team that you know, broke an in-season school record for 31 wins. And they were very, very good, made it to the Sweet 16.
Yeah, so okay, the best Tennessee team you've ever seen. Is it this baseball team? And, or do they have to finish it off to be the best Tennessee team you've ever seen?
The best team I've seen, and at least to my memory, you know, before I was really, really young.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. Like, you weren't like cognizant of what's going on in sports when the 97-98 Lady Vols were playing.
So, best team, I would say yes, because there's not a weakness in this team. There's really not a weakness there. Now, can you win the whole thing? We'll have to see. But talent-wise, I would still go back to, you know, probably those Lofton years of basketball. I mean, those guys were some dudes, right?
Do you take them over 98 Tennessee football? I don't know. The thing with 98 Tennessee football is it was very similar to this year's Georgia football team.
And they were so good.
And that it was just the 85 Bears on one side and then a really good offensive line, a good running game, and a good quarterback that didn't make mistakes. Smart. On the other side. And then, you know, a wide receiver that could play in the NFL. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, they just had – they were smart. They were conservative. There was also just this thing about that 98 team, because I don't know that the 97 team wasn't more talented.
Yeah.
But the 98 team just had this thing where they were going to find a way to win one way or the other.
They probably felt slighted too, because once Peyton left, everybody said, oh, well, Tennessee's done. I mean, you got to, as anybody would, you take that quarterback out of an offense, you can only go back.
It's top three quarterback in the history of football.
Yeah, but everybody else was just so good, and they probably played PO'd, and, you know, they went more than that.
Yeah, and they got it done. Yep. You know what I mean? And so good for them. Congratulations to them. That's been, you know, that they won the title. I think that, but it's interesting, like sometimes finishing it matters, right? So if this Tennessee team runs roughshod, doesn't lose a game the rest of the way, doesn't lose a game in the SEC tournament, and wins through to the College World Series, but doesn't finish the College World Series, are you still going to say this about this team, or do you have to finish it and get the title to be considered the best at Tennessee ever?
You probably have to finish it and finish the title. I'll say that. I mean, again, this 98 team, they were dominant on that side of the ball. They had all this type of stuff. But if we're nitpicking here, if there's one weakness, which, again, it didn't matter, it would be the quarterback position, right? Right now, looking at Tennessee's roster, sure, they could throw out more base runners, but, I mean, pitching's great. Hitting's great. I mean, there's no weakness. Now, they need to finish the job, which is difficult to do. So,
And you rarely see the team.
Yeah.
I don't care the sport. You rarely see the team that starts it, finish it.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
They didn't start the season right number one, but it didn't take them long at all to get there.
That's Eric Kane. I'm Will West. 656-9900. The reason you need that phone number, it's time for us to play the game. We play the game next in the starting lineup. We need two contestants now at 656-9900 on the Sports Animal.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit. And you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.